available through the iHeartRadio app. Download it today and listen anytime, anywhere. We'll get to Game 7 of the World Series tonight. Steve Gardner of USA Today up and early, and Adam will join us at 8:05. But joining us now, speaking of great drama, high-stakes sports Saturday night down in Miami, the Hurricanes, the Hokies, John Lazor, the voice of Virginia Tech, joining us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. He's brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. What was the candy du jour served last night at the Lazor household?
Oh, there isn't just one thing. We live in a building where we don't get many trick-or-treaters, which does not mean we do not get a lot of candy. My fiance Renee's mom sent an entire crate down, essentially. I had a large Snickers bar. Renee had about 11 different things.
Oh, are you the big candy bar house?
We would be if anybody would come, but we don't tell them the door code, so they can't.
Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's right.
More for you. Greed, for lack of a better word, is good. John Lazor with us. All right, Lays, let's get into this. Hokies hoping Saturday night will not be a trick. It'll be a treat against Miami. I was talking about this earlier, and it's pretty much stating the obvious. But these next two games, this is how the season gets judged, right? 7-1, it's been earned, it's good. But Miami, Georgia Tech's going to define the year.
Yeah, it's going to define the year in terms of whether you're able to take that big step back onto the stage of relevance. And I think at this point at 7-1, you're going to feel confident about your last two games regardless of what happens the next couple of weeks, and you're looking at the floor of this ceiling being a lot higher than maybe some people thought at the beginning. But yeah, the ceiling is still right there, and you're absolutely right, Wes. The next 2 weeks are going to determine that. My broadcast partner, Mike Burnup, who's literally seen it all over the last 35 years, has been saying that since June, that this two-week stretch, if you were able to take care of your business, which the Hokies have been able to, would determine it. And I don't think Tech is alone in that boat. You know, Notre Dame's going to follow them into Miami. We saw the college football playoff, the first four released last night. They're in there. Well, they're not obviously going to be in there if they don't win in South Florida in a couple of weeks. So Tech not alone in that boat, but yeah, definitely they are right there this week.
You said they took care of their business, and they have. The only loss, the only blemish on Virginia Tech's record is the Clemson game. How do you see Virginia Tech more ready for a trip to Miami than the Hokie team that faced Clemson?
Well, one, Miami I don't think is nearly as good as Clemson, so that certainly helps. It's not a home game, but at the same time, this team has had to replace a lot of production on the outside, and when Cam Phillips went down against Boston College and missed about 95% of that game, I think you saw the continued development of this receiving core, particularly Sean Savoy, who just went absolutely nuts in that game, but probably more importantly, because I think Savoy was already coming along, Eric Kuma and Dalton Keene to some degree. So the guys that you knew you were going to have to rely on at some point on the season have started to emerge, and that's just natural progression through the course of a freshman season for a lot of these guys. I think your defensive line is stronger. I think your tackles are playing better than they were back in September. I think you're starting to see some production from the edge as well. Haushin Gaines replaced Vinny Mahota on a number of critical snaps against Duke just this past week. So I think all in all, and also from a defensive perspective, as other teams have gotten banged up on offense and giving you even more of an advantage on that side of the ball, Tech, knock on wood, has stayed largely healthy on the defensive side of the ball, and that has allowed them to bloom into one of the preeminent defenses in the country.
I'm going to double knock on wood. Yash Nijman, potential absence, how major of a factor would that be?
Well, he's an outstanding player, so if you don't have him, that's a loss. But at the same time, Parker Osterloh's kind of been a secret weapon that nobody knows about because he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and he had a back injury that lingered basically all through camp and into halfway point of the season. And I was actually shocked, to be honest, that he was the one that came out. I know he'd been limited in practice and he'd been around a little bit, but I'd kind of forgotten about him. But then when he got in there, he reminded you that he's the reason he's been on the two deep for the last two or three years, and he's a heck of a player. So I don't think you take a significant downturn if Yash is unable to play on Saturday, but at the same time, it is a big loss because Nijman will play at the next level.
I want to get your thoughts on this Miami team. We'll do the head-to-head. I got a couple other things about this matchup, but while we're talking just Hokies, Josh Jackson, I know bad weather Saturday night, but before the weather, two slow starts, there were throws that were concerning, a couple interceptions that he got lucky on that were dropped. What questions do you have about Josh going into this game where you probably, especially the next 2 weeks, probably going to have to ask him to do more than he's done all year?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if you're going to have to ask him to do more. Wes, I think you're right. This offense has gotten off to slow starts, and it's been a grind at times. But eventually, pretty much in every game this year, they've gotten there. Are there a few throws that you would have liked to see him get off quicker? Absolutely, including the Savoy touchdown, and I think that's been fairly consistent with the deep ball all year. But I don't necessarily want to see him change anything with that this week, because making quicker decisions generally leads to making poorer decisions at times, and we don't want to see that turnover chain down in Miami. I think what I've done, and I think Justin Fuente beat me there by about 3 or 4 months, is accepted what this offense is. It's not going to be an explosive score on every possession type offense. It has that capability, as we've seen against some substandard defenses, but at the same time, this is an offense that you need to take advantage of the field position that your defense and special teams is giving to you when they give it to you, and try to score 28-31, somewhere in that range, and see if you don't score a touchdown or at points in other phases of the game and win in the hidden yardage situation, and then rest on your veteran and what I feel is a top five national defense and win football games the way they've been winning football games around here for a long time. You know, I said it on the post game, I think with you, Wes, last year. I'm not sure when exactly it was that me, and I'll say me, but a lot of people are with me in this, became entitled to the point where we're expecting this offense to score 45 points a game. They really don't need to do that. And for Josh Jackson, I think just remaining calm, continuing to secure the football is the biggest thing, and not worry about guys like you and me are talking about.
Come back, get John's thoughts on what to make of this Miami team that keeps on winning, crazy enough, but they keep on winning. Get to the matchup Saturday night, and also the always anticipated John Lazor wedding update of the week. Wes McElroy, John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates on Fox Sports 910.